the daughters of the Kanani know. And there in Ur Kazdim, that Avram had to flee from there. They're the grace of tzaddikim. They're the pious and religious ones, and the moral and ethical ones. Their daughters, yes, and the daughters of the Kanani know. You look like you want to say something, sorry.
I'm thinking about how 2 generations later, the sons of Yaakov,
and
they married each other or something, right? But otherwise, they didn't marry
the
local women.
Right? They
married the local women.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, there is, of course, a Midrash that says that there were twin sisters that were born with them. It may very well be that we're talking at a particular moment in time. Now you can't take the daughters of the Kanani. What will happen later? Who was Tamar? She was a Kanani. So obviously it means that something that Avram sees at this particular moment in time, lately, things may change during the course of time. But,
huh?
Yeah, and maybe since Yitzchak. And maybe Yitzchak is a single person and he has to be the beginning of it all. It may very well be different. There are chances that can be taken later but can't be taken now. All right, let's read a little bit more and we'll start dealing with some of these issues. Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, God, the God of the heaven, Hashem Elokachani Mibeit Avi, who took me from my father's house, from the Eretz Moladti, and from the land of my birthplace, Hashem Dibeh Li Vashem Nishba Li Lemor, who spoke to me and swore to me so, saying, to your seed, I will give you this land. He's going to send his angel before you, his messenger. You will take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman will not want to go after you, you will be cleansed, you will be free of this oath. Rak et bni lo tashev shama. My son, you should not take back there. And the servant placed his hand under the loins of Avraham, his master, by Yishavalo, and he swore to him, Al Hadavar Hazeh, about this thing. Then begins the whole story about which Chazal tell us, famous statement of Chazal, Yofo Sichaton Shel Avdei Avot Yoter Mitarato Shel Banav. The mere talk, the conversation of the servants of the patriarchs is even greater than the Torah of the sons, because here is a whole story with Eliezer, and the story is going to be repeated in detail, in full, twice, and that's why we have this long parsha. While there are fundamental principles of Torah that I learned from an extra A or an extra Vav. So we're going to have to see what is the beauty of this entire parsha. Let's begin with question number one. First of all, we have to talk about the Zivug, the Shidduch. The Abarbanel is the one who asks the question, Lama Tziva Avraham. And there are many, of course, who ask the question after him, why did Avram command that he should not take a wife from the daughters of the Kanani? Is it because they were idolaters? So also the other side of the river where he sent him back, El Arts of El Molodico, they were also idolaters. And then he also points out something. He says, if Yitzchak sent Yaakov off to Aram Naharayim to find a wife, it's because he already had the experience of the Canaanite women whom Esau had married. The Pasuk is going to say later that those women were a source of bitterness for Yitzchak and Rivka. So he already had daughters-in-law with whom he was not terribly, terribly happy. So therefore he sends Yaakov off over there. Avram has not had this experience yet. Why does he send Eliezer to bring a wife for him from there?
That's another question. So if something happens, he sends, there was such a thing with his father, no circumstances, no way, we let my son go back.
Good question. So give an answer. I have a feeling. My feeling is, well, of course, first of all, we have the Chazal. The man, the Chazal, that Yitzchak, because he was brought on the Mizbeach of the Akedah, became a Kadosh B'Tahar, Olah Tamima, Chazal referred to him. And he did not go out of Eretz Yisrael. Later on, when there is a famine in the land, the next parasha in Parasha told that Yitzchak wants to leave the land, so God appears to him, don't go down to Egypt, because he wanted to follow in the footsteps of his father. There's another famine. What did his father do in the first famine? He went down to Egypt. God says, no, don't go down. And there Rashi brings the Maimon Chazal that says that Yitzchak was Olah Tamima. Yitzchak cannot go out of Eretz Yisrael. That's all. Yitzchak is the first Sabra. He is Yelid Haaretz. He must spend his entire life within the confines of Eretz Yisrael. He can't leave. Yaakov is not the Olah Tamima. Yaakov does have the right to go out to Eretz Yisrael. There is no specific prohibition against him leaving. God, with regard to Yitzchak, says no. Can't go out. And Avram obviously understands this, even though it's not going to be said yet later until Pasha has told us that after Avram dies. I have a feeling that Avram is more concerned about Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is the one who is going to establish the Jewish people. What he's afraid of a number of things. And this emerges from the Mefarshim. He's afraid that if Yitzchak, in order to marry a wife, is going to go to Chutz Arts, he may never return. And if so, who knows what's going to happen with the destiny of the Jewish people. He is also frightened, according to some, there are political considerations or religious considerations. The political considerations are, in the event that he marries some of the daughters of Canaan, it may very well mean that Avram will no longer be in a position when the day comes to conquer the land. What are you going to go do? You're going to go to war with the Machatunim? It may be very well be true that most people go to war with the Machatunim. But over here it's going to mean...
Not politically.
In other words, the idea that he may marry somebody who lives, Mibnot HaKnani, living Asher Anochi Yoshev B'Kirbo, so he says, no, you can't... I don't want him to marry anybody who lives over here. So I say that there are a whole gamut of perushim. One is the idea that he will not be able to conquer the land. There are others who say on the contrary. Maybe he will be able to conquer without war if he marries into the family. But then there's another concern. Avram expresses it, Asher Anochi, those that I live, Bekirbo, in his midst. What he is concerned about is a local girl is one who's going to remain forever under the influence of her family, surrounded by all of the machatunim and all of the mishpucha. The one who's going to be swallowed up over here is going to be Yitzchak, not the girl. But what happens if you bring a girl from elsewhere and she leaves all of her family behind? She is then going to come under the influence of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak will be able to mold, shape, and form her in a way in which we will be able to build a Klal Yisrael. So that the problem of Asher Anochi Yoshev B'Kirbo, even I am living in his midst, I am surrounded by him and all of his influences. What will happen with Yitzchak if Yitzchak is going to marry a girl, a local girl? Best is to bring somebody from elsewhere. But the classic answer to this question, why does he reject the daughters of the Canaanite and he would rather the daughters of Adam Naharayim? There is the famous Drashos Hadan, and I believe everybody quotes the Drashos Hadan. And what he says is, I'll read a few classic sentences of the Drashos Hadan. He says the following: Hamitzvot v'ha'averot asheva Torah in al shtei panim. There are two kinds of mitzvahs and averis in Torah. There are those kind of mitzvahs and averis sheyasu roshem pagufu v'nefesh. They impact, they make an impression on the body and the soul of the human being. For example, mitos, character traits, and masim, the act of mitzvah. The act of performing a mitzvah, or on the other hand, the act of performing an aveira, makes an impression not only on the mind and on the soul, but it makes an impression on the body. Umehem shiyasu roshem, and there are forms of good or evil that make an impression only on the soul, the mind, the intellect alone. So he says, those that make an impact and make an impression on both body and soul, they are the ones that are going to be transmitted in the genes from generation to generation. And that you have to be careful of. Those that make an impact only on the soul or the mind are not necessary. They're not transmitted biologically. What he's really saying is that there's a difference between a hashkafa that's wrong and a manner of conduct that's wrong. Conduct that's bad, that's immoral, unconscionable, unethical, makes an imprint on the entire being. Difficult to undo that. But what happens if somebody is basically an ethical and a moral individual, but is making a terrible intellectual mistake? A terrible intellectual mistake, you can always deal with it. You can always speak to the mind. It's not something that necessarily is transmitted from generation to generation. The Knani who lived in Eretz Yisrael, they are held up a number of times in Torah as people who had become absolutely debased and immoral. Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim and Kimase Eretz Canaan, you shall not do. The abominations of the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, you shall not do. Steer clear of them. The people back home where Avram had come from were basically decent people in terms of morality and ethics, but intellectually they were dead wrong. The one who's intellectually wrong is, number one, that's a person you can deal with, so you can show them intellectually that they're wrong and bring them to your way of thinking. But what's even more important is the intellectual error does not make an impression on the body or the neshama. So therefore he says, Bnot HaKnani were simply mushchat. They had become completely corrupt. Not a chance that from these people will come a children of whom he will be proud. Whereas the family back home, and he doesn't even know that. Simply as he doesn't send him back to the family, God is going to send him to the family of Avram. He sends him back to his land and his birthplace. Doesn't tell the family. It means that there are degrees of evil. There are those who have simply become that debased and that degraded that it has had a tremendous impact on their not only on their conduct, but on the neshama as well. Yes. Servant Eliezer later is going to tell them when he's going to speak to the family in Pasuk 38 in this parasha, when he is telling the family of Rivka what he was commanded by Avram, it says Imlo el Beit Avi Telech. He says that Avram told me to go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. Very interesting. One of the major issues that the Mefarshim deal with here at great length in this parsha is the story is repeated twice. And there are dozens of differences between the way the story appears in Torah and then the way in which Eliezer tells it over to the family of Lavan and Betuel. And he changes things, and there is clear intent. He wants to impress them and impress certain things upon them. once he finds this great luck, this act of God, that of all people, the girl that he meets at the well, it is not just a girl from Ur Kasdan, it's from Avraham's Mishpacha. Can you imagine? Can there be any greater, what are we going to call it, coincidence or luck? Or obviously, the ones who are going to express it well are going to be Lavan and Betuel. They say, of all things, those fellows say, May Hashem Yatzah HaDavar. Those three words are fascinating three words. Huh? How do you know it so well? You did your homework?
Verse 50.
Vayam Lavan Ubisuel, Vayam Ru, and they said, Hashem Yatzah HaDavar. This is a marriage made in heaven. You understand? Even these, oh, the Avid Zara, Lavan, and Betuel say, Hashem Yatzah HaDavar. I mean, they may very well have seen Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. They certainly knew was the God of Avraham, and therefore something of this sort, which relates directly to Avraham, could not be an act of any other deity, but the only deity in the world that Avraham recognizes and that Avraham has worshipped and that Avraham has made well known throughout the world.
Let's see. Sarah's wondering if that's enough. I mean, he must be experienced with the contrast between the value of that and the
two things. I don't know if
that
answers
part of
it.
We
have one person, a lot of one person, in for working with someone in the place, but we say the perfect. We say the perfect.
Right. How
much
of
an influence in your family will be
for
one of the
first
and talking about
it? All right. We're going to go far afield. Yeah. You're asking the questions that you ask are good questions that dealt with by the Mepharshim, but if we're going to, I better get my watch out so that I'll make sure that I start saying what I have in mind to say today. It's getting very, very late. Okay. Let's deal with question number one. And this is, of course, a question that many of Mepharshim deal with. The question of to what extent are things min hashamayim? We very often find ourselves faced by what seems to be a divine decree, and then in the face of a divine decree, what place is there for human action? This is something that troubles us with regard to parnasa, with regard to health, certainly with regard to a shidduch. It may very well affect us with regard to the problem of Eretz Yisrael. Listen, if this is what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants, he obviously has a plan. There is a divine decree, and if there's a divine decree, so what place, what role does man play in a world where there are divine decrees? So famous Gemara in the Sefer Brachos, where the Gemara says that Chizkiyo, king of Yehuda, had seen Beruach HaKodesh, that he was going to have a child by the name of Menashe who was going to be a terrible Rasha. And therefore Chizkiyo decided that he was not going to marry. So he takes ill, and the Yeshayahu comes to visit him. And that was, of course, one of the most unusual Bikur Cholims of all, because he comes to visit him and he says to him, Chizkiyahu, you are going to die from this illness. That's just what the doctor ordered for Chizkiyahu. Incidentally, it may turn out that that's precisely what the doctor ordered. So Chizkiyahu, because God is punishing you because you don't want to marry. So he says, but I know Beruach HaKodesh that I'm going to have a child that's going to be a terrible Rasha. So Yeshayahu tells him, by the secrets of God, what are you doing there? That's none of your business. What you are commanded to do, you're supposed to do. And what God wants, let him do. The responsibility of man is to do that which he is commanded to do. None of your business by God's secrets. Incidentally, this could also very well express the idea that we said at the end of last week's share on the Akedah, Avram is faced with, God has promised him ki b'Yitzchak yikara l'chol zara, that Yitzchak is going to be your seed. It's going to be, he's going to be the father of the Jewish people. And on the other hand, God tells him, take your one and only son and bring him as an Ola. So we said that Avram doesn't ask God the question, but there's a contradiction. How can you tell me to take Yitzchak when Yitzchak is, you've promised that Yitzchak is going to be the father of a Jewish nation? It's really the words of Yishayahu to Chizkiyahu. By the secrets of God, what are you doing there? That's not your business. You have a responsibility to do that which you are commanded to do. And what God wants to do, let him do. That's his business. My responsibility is to respond positively to the imperative of God. So what is Yishayahu telling Chizkiyahu? He's telling him, yes, may very well be that you will have children like that. But your responsibility is to perform the mitzvah, which means you have no right to take into consideration divine decree. Divine decree should not in any way control your actions. What do you think the whole parasha over here is? If God tells Avram ki b'Yitzchak yikara l'chol zara, that Yitzchak is going to be the father of the Jewish people, so who's the one that has to provide a shidduch? The one who has to provide a shidduch is going to be God. And take a look at what Avram goes through over here in order to find a wife for Yitzchak. The oaths that he makes Eliezer undertake. You can't take from the daughters of the family, you can't take my son back over there under no circumstances. I want you to swear in the event that the woman doesn't want to come, you don't have to, you are free of this oath. Avram goes through an entire process in order to find a wife for Yitzchak. And after all that he has gone through, who are the ones that express it best? Lavan and Betuel at the end, who say, "May Hashem yatzah davar," it came from God. Which means, and what they're saying really is a Gemara. The Gemara says the following: Min haTorah umin haNeviim umin haKetuvim. In Torah, Neviim, and Ketuvim, we find May Hashem isha leish. From God comes a wife for a man. Min haTorah. Where does it say so in Torah? Over here, this pasuk that Lavan and Betuel say, "May Hashem yatzah hadavar." Min haNeviim. Where do we find it in the prophets? Because it says that when Shimshon sees a woman in Plishtim and he desires her and he tells his parents that I want this woman, it says in the pasuk, "Va'aviv ve'imo lo yadu ki mei Hashem he." His father and his mother didn't know that this was all a plan, a divine plan. A divine decision. Min haketuvim, the Gemara says, where do we find in ketuvim, may Hashem isha leish, dichtiv, because it says it's a pasuk in Mishlei, bayit, vahon, nachalat avot, house, wealth, the inheritance and the heritage of fathers, umay Hashem isha maskelet. From God comes an intelligent woman. Man marries an intelligent woman. That comes from God. Bayit v'hon on the one hand. No, two parts to the pasuk. Bayit v'hon, house and wealth. That's an inheritance of the fathers. That can come by down through the family. But may Hashem, what is it that comes from God? Isha maskelet. I'll have to look it up. So now, if may Hashem isha le'ish, if the decision is a divine decision, what is the point of all of the effort of Avram? Everything that he undergoes, a whole parasha, in order to find the zivug. And then again, in his speaking with Lavan and Betuel, he tells them, listen, I want to know from you whether you agree. And if not, I will turn to the right or to the left. There is an implied threat. In other words, he's not going to brook any kind of delay here. He wants to know zivug now. He wants to know it now. And if you're not going to give me a decision now, then I'm going to go to the right or the left. Where's he going? What do you mean, where's he going? Who's he to make a decision where he's going to go? What kind of threats is he making? The decision is not in his hands. The decision comes from God. What we're really getting down to is an understanding of the concept that the Gemara says, our boim yom kodem yitziras havlad, 40 days before the child is formed in the womb, there is already a voice that comes out from heaven saying, bat ploni leploni, this man's daughter is going to marry that. That's the classic way in which Chazal tell us that marriages are made in heaven. And if marriages are made in heaven, what is the point of all of the effort that goes into to making zifugim? What's the point? There is a divine decree. The divine decree has already made the decision. And whatever that divine decree is, that's precisely what's going to happen. On the other hand, there are ma'amarei chazal, there are statements of our rabbis that leave us with a completely different impression. The Gemara says the following, la'olam yidbak odom betovim, a person should go and cling, marry to those who are good. Listen, it's a frightening Gemara. Shahadei Moshe nosa bat Yidro. Moshe married the daughter of Yidro, who came from him, Yehonatan. Yehonatan, whom we learned about, became a priest for Pesel Micha. Aaron, who married the daughter of Aminadav, Yotzem Imenu Pinchas. From him came Pinchas. The Gemara says, Hanosi Isha, a person who marries a woman, Tzorech Sheyivdo Bachel, he has to check her brothers out. Have to take a look at the brothers. What? Check? What are you checking about? There's a divine decree. The decision has been made on high. The Gemara says, La'olam yim karadam kol mashi yesh lo, a person should sell everything that he has, v'yisabat tamal chacham, and he should marry the daughter of a tamal chacham. If he can't marry the daughter of a tamal chacham, he should marry a person who's president of a shul. I imagine that's what the daughter of Roshei Knesiyot, a shul president. Can't find the daughter of a shul president, he should marry the daughter of a gabbai tzedakah. If he didn't find the gabbai tzedakah's daughter, then we come down to the bottom of the barrel, the daughter of a malami tinoko, somebody who teaches small children. So what do all of these statements of our rabbis indicate? That marriage is the result of man's decision-making process. He goes out over there, he makes his ishtabos, he puts in the effort and the energy, the time, and he goes out after the shidduch. Of course, you can even bring mamarim halacha. The halacha is that a person is committed to become engaged even on Tisha B'Av. In the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av itself, Thursday, not a time for simcha. Why? Because Shema Yikavmenu Acha, maybe somebody else is going to get there ahead of him. What do you mean get there ahead of him? Nobody can get there ahead of him. If she's destined for me, she's mine. That's all. Nobody's going to go get it. So there are a number of approaches to this basic question. One is the Shibali Aleket, one of the Rishonim, says the following. He brings one of the Rishonim who sent a letter to another one of the Rishonim, Ashesha Alpa Alinyan Hazibugim, that which you asked about marriages, Shiduchin. Lama ye onesh Adam, al shum zivug shalo kedin, shiyesh bo shemet psul. He makes the question even sharper. And what happens if somebody marries a woman who is prohibited to him? Why should he be punished for it? If he is marrying a woman who is prohibited to him, it's obvious because this was the decree from heaven. Or, the Gemara says somebody who marries a woman for her money, it's not good. But if he married her, that means she was the one who was destined to him. In Nochamu, if it's true, shall pi batko nigzer alo ha'isha azot, if it's true that the voice that came out from heaven decreed that this is his woman, and even kodem yitzirat haflad, even before the child is formed in the womb, lama geyonesh azot, why should he be punished? Halo min ha'shamayim nigzer alo. The Shibali Aleket's answer is the following. He not easy to understand, but let's hear what he says. He says the bat kol, the voice that comes out of heaven, announces, machrezet, announces the omedet and says, however, it's not gozeret. there is a statement that emerges from heaven, but it's not a decree. What does it mean that it's not a decree? It means that the voice that emerges from heaven may very well say what man is ultimately going to do. The voice is prophesying that after the entire process that he's going to go through, he's going to go out on dates, and he's going to go to Shatchanim, and they're going to check out her brothers, and the bat call that comes from heaven does not decree. It announces. A couple gets engaged, they put an announcement in the Ateid or in the Hamodiah, right? So the type was set for it in heaven in advance, but how did it get into the paper? It's all the result of man's action. Men, huh? That's right. And that's the way we're going to understand Avram. And that's how we're going to understand, on the one hand, we're going to balance all of the effort that Avram goes through with loving and Basul. Say, Me Hashem Yotza HaDavar. Me Hashem Yotza HaDavar doesn't mean that man is free of acting. The...
There's an announcement.
You're right.
Then there's no such thing as
a... So maybe we haven't understood it correctly all along. I'm shaking. It's a struggle that I've had with my shviga for 32 years.
What's
shviga? Shviga's mother-in-law. That's one Yiddish word, even if you don't speak Yiddish, that you have to know.
What is it?
Zivug is the mate.
Together.
Yes, finding the mate.
So why is that exclusive? I'm understanding. Why is it that a couple has to go to find each other, do all their actions, be in the right place at the right time? Why can't that be compatible with the concept of a decree? Because you say it's not a decree.
It's
an announcement. I assume there's one particular soul out there for this soul, and they're meant to.
But they're going to have to find each other. Exactly, they're going to have to find each other.
But to just say, if they marry the one
person,
they get punished. If they marry the one person, Kappa talks about this, if they marry the one person,
who?
Philip Berg.
Philip Berg. You read Philip Berg.
One thing that they talk about is marriage.
Oh God, did they get a hold of this thing?
No, he talked about was that.
He's the Kabbalist with his center in Toronto.
He wrote a very interesting part about how people find each other. And people can make mistakes. Why do you think they're divorced? I mean, because people didn't find the right person. They didn't use the proper action, or they didn't use the proper...
Let me go one step further. The Rambam, of course, is the great rationalist. The Rambam, in his Shmona Prakim, the introduction to Pirkei Avos, he says the following. He does not accept at all the idea of a gzeira min hashamayim. Doesn't accept it at all. You see, because according to the Rambam, the fundamental principle upon which all of Torah stands is the idea of free will. To say that something that is so important to a person's life, or to two people's life, or to the life of Klal Yisrael, is something that is decided upon in advance, is something that the Rambam cannot accept. And therefore he says the following. Ki zot ha'isha she'lekocha b'ktuba u'v'kidushin v'hikshedo lo, a woman whom a man took according to halacha with ksuba and kedushin, and she is permitted to him, and he took her for the purpose of having children. He mitzvah, that's the performance of a mitzvah, right? A proper marriage is the performance of a mitzvah. Says the Rambam, God never coerces man to perform a mitzvah. God never decrees upon a man to do a mitzvah. The whole purpose of mitzvahs is that I should do it by my own free will. And therefore, since it's a mitzvah, Hashem Yidbarach lo yigzor b'asiyat ha-mitzvah, God does not decree the performance of a mitzvah. And what happens if the marriage is a prohibited marriage? And it's an aveira? The same thing, God never coerces or decrees upon somebody to do an aveira. Avokol pe'ulot ha'adam mesurot lo, all of man's actions are in his hands, utul yodim b'chidatoh, and they depend completely upon the act of his free will. And about this, our rabbi said, Hakol bidei shemayim, everything in the hands of heaven except Yirat Shemayim. Yirat Shemayim, the act of choosing to do a mitzvah or to do an aveira, man has absolutely free will. So then the Rambam, in a letter that he writes in response to a question that was sent to him by one of the great gadim of his day, whose name was Ovadia Hager, so he says the meaning of the bat kol, bat ploni leploni, the voice that comes out, bat ploni leploni, is not a decree on man, it's only a either reward or punishment. That if this man and this woman were good, then they are going to be joined together and it's going to be a happy marriage. And if they deserve to be punished, then this is going to be the form of punishment, that God is going to bring two people who are totally incompatible with one another together.
Wow.
Next, we're not finished completely. What we have to understand is, whenever we look at a statement of our rabbis, we have to be able to look at a statement of our rabbis in the context of other statements. Just like everybody is aware of the statement that says, Arboim Yom Kodem Yitzchak Havlad, everybody knows that Gemara, that 40 days before the embryo was formed, there's a voice that comes out from heaven and says, Bat Ploni, Bat Ploni. There's